Sampradaya coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Narottam Das Thakur was a great preacher, especially in this part of West Bengal. He had his own style of singing, his own style of kirtan. And his words were so potent that it's said that by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that he said, we can accept the verses, the songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur as we can accept the slokas from the Vedas, the authority of the Vedas. We can accept them on the same level, his wonderful songs, which bring out all the essence of the philosophy and the Krishna consciousness movement. So there is one song, it's called Ishtadeva Vignapti, prayers to one's beloved Lord. And it's a very nice song, and it's Srila Prabhupada's favorite song. So I thought we could speak a little bit on that, Prabhupada's favorite song. Because it contains all the philosophy practically in this song. Everything is there contained within this song. Practically no need for anything else. Hari Hari Pipole Janma Gainu Manusha Janma Paya Radha Krishna Nabhajiya Janiya Shuniya Bisho Kainu. Here he's saying that, O Lord Hari, I've uselessly wasted my life. Even I got human form of life, I didn't care to serve Radha and Krishna. And therefore, I am drinking poison, the poison of this material existence. To counteract the poison of the material existence, Krishna has come in the form of his holy name. And the holy names are glorification of Radha and Krishna. So he's saying, I'm so unfortunate, I never glorified Radha and Krishna while I had a human form of life. So I'm knowingly taking poison. So we can see the state of the world today, how many people are worshipping Radha and Krishna. So that means they're all drinking poison. The whole world is drinking the poison of material existence. Without accepting the service of Radha and Krishna. Then he says, Golokera Premadana Hari Nama Samkirtana Ratina Janmelokinitai. This means, it's more. Samsara Vishanalaye Diba Nishahoy Dvale Jurati na koi na upai. This treasure, the divine love of Goloka Vrindavan, has descended as the congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy names. Why my attraction for chanting never came about? Day and night my heart burns in the fire of poison of worldliness, and I have not taken the means to relieve it. So, what was that Goloka Prema? Golokera Prema Dana. What is that Goloka Prema? Bhaja Prema, our ultimate goal, especially the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our ultimate goal, Goloka Prema, Bhaja Prema. But that goal, the whole of the spiritual world is revolving around this principle of prema, Goloka prema, the loving exchange, Radha and Krishna and all their associates. So that ultimate object of our existence, Radha Krishna Prem, Goloka Prem, this descended into this material world in the form of the holy name Harinam Samkirtan Ki Jai. So this is what we are dealing with. We're chanting Hare Krishna, but actually it's Goloka Prem for those who can chant purely. And we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, they exhibited this prema. Why? By chanting Hare Krishna, doing Harinam Samkirtan. So many, throughout Chaitanya-charitamrita, that's all they were doing actually. They're just chanting Hare Krishna, falling in ecstasy. They were tasting that Goloka Prema Dana. So this is the greatness. And we've got the greatest thing, the rarest thing, and it's coming Kali Yuga. For the living entities of Kali Yuga, the most fallen, degraded people, they have an opportunity to take to the chanting of Hare Krishna and develop their, or awaken their love for Krishna. Why my attraction for chanting did never come about. Day and night my heart burns in the fire of poison of worldliness, and I've not taken the means to relieve it. So here is, as Vaishnavacharya is showing a lot of humility, that I have no attraction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, same thing in Shikshasikam. You have, my Lord, you have hundreds of millions of names like Govinda, Krishna, etc. But I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction. So he's expressing that mood, I have no attraction. But day and night my heart burns in the fire of the poison of this worldly existence. So we give a lot of time to worldly existence, but somehow or another we don't give time for much time for cultivating the holy name. Therefore we're all burning in this fire of material existence. There's a pastime that deals with Narottam Thakur and Srinivasacharya and Jajigram. Jajigram, is it? On the way to Katwa? Huh? Jajigram? Where Narottam was staying and Srinivas was staying? Anyway, on the way to Katwa, not far from here, there's a place. And Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas were sitting there, Krishna Katha. Then they heard band was coming, Shanai and everything. There was a wedding band, a wedding party. And it was Ramchandra, the great Ramchandra Kaviraj, who became later known as Ramchandra Kaviraj, disciple of Narottam. So as the wedding party came past, and Ramchandra said, stop, I want to get off because I want to pay my obeisance to these sadhus, it'd be very auspicious, my wedding day, get the blessings of the sadhus, so please stop the palanquin. So they stopped the palanquin. And Narottam was saying, such a nice Brahmin, nice features, very eloquent, no Shastri, very nice. But he's not a devotee. If only he was a devotee. Srinivas said, okay, I'll go and preach to him. So when the Ramchandra came to pay his obeisances, he said, Srinivas said that, you know, a person, he works very, very hard in this lifetime, simply to make some money, just simply to exist. He has to work very, very hard. And what does he do with his money he earns? He buys a noose with it. You know what a noose is? It's like a rope that you tie around your neck for hanging. So he works hard, not only is he working hard, and he buys a noose with his hard-earned money, not only that, but he happily puts it on his own neck. He's happily thinking, I'll put it on my own neck, I'll be happy. So hard work and went into it, and he buys a noose, and happily he said, I put it, and he happily puts it around his own neck. Anyway, it struck Ramchandra. It struck him what he had said about the material existence. It's exactly what everyone's doing. trying to enjoy material existence, this means yes, you're tying that noose around your neck. So it struck him, he went and got married. On the way back, he said, stop the palanquin. He went, paid obeisances, and please make me your disciple, Narottam. I want to become your disciple. So that was the effect of their preaching. Anyway, it's expressing the same thing. This material world is very, very dangerous. Then he sings, Brajendra Nandana Jay Sachi Shuta Hoyla Shay Balaram Holyo Nitai Nitai and Balaram. Those who was the son of King Nanda in Vrindavan, Krishna, he has become Gauranga. And Balaram has become Nitai. So these are the inhabitants of Goloka, Krishna and Balaram. Such a big aspect. The cowherd boys, is it? Everything is revolving around the cowherd village in Vrindavan. So Balaram descended as Nityananda, and Krishna descended as Gauranga. Dina hina jata chilo hari na meru dharilo thari shakshi jagai and madhai. Madhai and jagai madhai, they were the greatest sinners. Everybody knows the stories of jagai madhai, yet they were delivered by Nityananda and Mahaprabhu and the holy name. So these are the evidence. Another song, Tarai Shakshi Jagai Madhai. They're the evidence of even the lowest persons can be delivered. So the Prabhupada said, he said, we're all Jagai Madhai in this Kali Yuga, especially in the Western countries. We all have the habits or the nature of Jagais and Madhais, but the holy name is delivering everyone. Aha Prabhu Nanda Shuta Vrishabhanu Shuta Juta Karuna Karoho Ibaro Narottama Dasya Koi Nate Ilo Rangapai Tuma Bina Kiyachi Tu Amara. O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Vrishabhanu, please be merciful to me now. Narottam Das says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet. For who is my beloved except you? So it's Prabhupada's favorite song. And many times he sung it in different kinds of ways. But anyway, it contains all of our philosophy. The goal of life, Krishna Prema Goloka, so that's descended as the holy name. The holy name is none different than Krishna, and by chanting it, we become delivered like Jagai and Madhai, and awaken our love for Krishna. So it's a very simple song, but all the essence of the philosophy is here. So, Narottam Das, he was going through Kenai Natshala. Kenai Natshala, it's a place on the border of Bengal and Bihar. We have a beautiful temple there, right on top of a mountain. No, it's not a mountain, but hill. Directly, the Ganga is directly under the hill. The Ganga is like the ocean there. You have to get a steamer to come across. And it's supposed to be none different than Vrindavan. It's a Gupta Vrindavan. their Radha and Krishna's footprints have been there since the time of Radha and Krishna, apparently, more than 5,000 years. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed Gauranga's footprints there also. And ISKCON has been given the savor of the temple. Radha Kanalal Ju, deities, Radha and Krishna. This is where Mahaprabhu, after he was initiated, he went from in Gaya, he went to Kenanachala. So anyway, he was passing through there, coming back, and he was calling, Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. Nityananda Prabhu said, who are you calling? Who is that Narottam? He says, don't you remember? When we were living in Puri, and you were distributing your love of God to everyone, you were in day and night, that's all you ever did. You just fell in ecstasy and you gave your love to everyone. So I was collecting all that. I collected all that prema that you had, that you were exhibiting and giving. I collected it and I'm going to store it in the Padma River. There's a river there, it's a branch of Ganga, Padma. And I'm going to store it in the Ganga and ask Ganga Devi, you look after this. And when Narottam comes and takes his bath, then that prema will enter into his heart. In this way he will become a great preacher. So, so then he told Ganga Devi, you keep this safely. When Narottam comes, you give to him. This is the prem that Nityananda was exhibiting. So Ganga Devi said, or Padmavati Devi said that, how will I know if when he comes? So know when he comes here, you will see that all your waters will overflow, the bank will overflow with. So, so then, at that time, Narottam was only about 12 years old, but Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him in a dream, and he told him that you can go to the Padma River and take your bath there, and Mahaprabhu has left a prema there for you, so you can receive it when you're going there. So he went to take his bath there, and immediately put his foot in the Ganga, flooded over the bank. So Ganga Devi knew this is the person, the recipient of the prema that Mahaprabhu had stored there. So he was able to take that in his heart, and then he became a completely transformed person. Already he was a great devotee, but everything about him changed. He was a prince, actually. Extremely wealthy. Son was like a king, Jamindar. But he completely changed. He had a blackish complexion. As soon as he came out of the Ganga, he's a golden color. His whole complexion had changed. And now he was just incessantly mad with love for Krishna, and that's all he just wanted to do, is just be with Krishna and talk about Krishna and hear about Krishna and chant about Krishna. And he didn't want to contact any worldly duties whatsoever. So so then he ran away from home, to Vrindavan. Wanted to go to Vrindavan, and he was running. It took him several days to get there from Bengal to. He had no shoes either. He's a king's son. Prince. He was running with barefooted. And then he collapsed out of exhaustion under a big tree. And then Mahaprabhu appeared to him in his dream. Before he appeared. He said, I've got some milk for you. You take the milk. And he left him a pot of milk. Then later on, Rupa and Sanatana appeared to him in a dream. And they fed him the milk. Yeah, take this milk. They massaged his body and put their hands all over his body. And then he became rejuvenated and all of his fatigue and everything went. So then he was able to go to Vrindavan. And there he took initiation from Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami, they were the first persons in Vrindavan like to develop. They were ordered by Mahaprabhu to develop the dhams. So they were the first persons there, but that time everything was covered over. Mahaprabhu found Radha Kund, it was just a little pond, nobody even knew anything about it. So they were there, they said, how we can find, 5,000 years ago, it gets pretty overgrown and everything gets lost. So they said, how we can find these places? So they said, well, we'll just ask them. Ask the places to manifest. So they were going around calling, Govardhan, Govardhan, where are you? Where are you? Manasaganga, where are you? They were just going around calling all the holy places, and then it was being revealed to them according to the Lord's desire. So this was their existence in... And Goswamis also had the same habits, calling out for the holy places. So Narottam Thakur, he asked, it's one place it says that Mahaprabhu ordered him in a dream to take initiation from Lokanath. So he asked for initiation, but Lokanath, he didn't have any disciples. He made a vow never to take disciples. So, Narottam wanted to do seva for his guru. So he had some secret service that when his guru, in the morning he went to pass urine and stool, and he had his same spot every day. When one is living in one place, you have a place for doing different things. So Narottam would go and clean the area. He would clean all the stools away, and he had a broom, and he would brush the area, and he would get very fine dust, dirt, mucky, for cleaning himself. You clean your hands and body with mud, it's very purifying. System, 16 times left hand, so many times right hand. The injunction, anyway, mud is what he used. But he used to make very soft mud. Sometimes it's, anyway, maybe something else. He would get it very soft, there was no sand or anything like that, or stones in it. And he would leave it there. So next day when Lokanath Goswami came to relieve himself, the place is nice and clean, some fresh soft dirt was there, dust was there, he could use for cleaning. So he thought, and then it's happening every day, I wonder who's doing this. So one night he went out and he stayed there the night, chanting nearby in a concealed place, and then he saw Narottam come in the midnight, cleaning and sweeping and everything like that. Because Narottam was completely embarrassed because he was the king's son. And the king's son was cleaning up. So eventually he agreed to make him his disciple. So after the disappearance of Rupa and Sanatan, then Jiva Goswami, he was the main person there in Vrindavan. He was accepted as the acharya at that time at Vrindavan. And so everyone would go and study under them, under Sri Jiva Goswami. So also Narottam and Srinivas and Shyamananda were instructed to don't take guidance of Jiva Goswami. He was teaching Shandavas, etc. So they went and studied under Jiva Goswami, and that's when Jiva Goswami awarded them the titles of who was it? Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya. They got these names given by Jiva Goswami. And then he told them to go and preach. They said, you take all these books that I've compiled and you can go and preach. Now Jiva Goswami had compiled all the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in systematic way. Before that, they weren't recorded systematically. But Jiva Goswami, he presented all the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a systematic way, and then he became the teacher, the great teacher. And so he said, yeah, you go. So they went back to their places where they were born. Narottam was born in Katuri, Kram village. So he didn't want to go. He didn't want to leave Vrindavan. He didn't want to leave his guru. But somehow or another, his guru told him that the order of the guru is Vandayam Bapu. It's equally as powerful. So you can go and serve your guru in this way. So then he went back to his place. And you know, on the way there, this books got stolen. The king Bihambir, the king of that district, and he used to have a band of dacoits. He maintained some dacoits, and they would plunder the pilgrims. So the king had the income for his running his kingdom. That was his source of income. He would plunder the pilgrims of their wealth. So they stole the books, they got information. These books is very valuable cargo here. They contacted an astrologer. He said it's an unlimited value. What is there is of unlimited value. They thought, oh, it must be gold and things like that. So they took it and it's only books. But anyway, they kept it in the king's palace. And he was actually a devotee. And he used to have Bhagavatam recital. And Srinivasacharya said, I'll stay here. You go and back to Keturi and you serve the order of your guru. You preach there. I'll stay here. I'll find the books. Anyway, somehow or another, he was able to get the books back from the king. And again, they distributed and preached. Although Shyamananda was preaching in Bengal and Orissa. Still very famous there, so many Sripats of all the disciples of Shyamananda and Shyamananda, Vasikananda, etc. So they were there. They were delivering many atheists and non-devotees. And so in their preaching, they had a pure devotional service, their teaching. They had a first Gopurnima festival since the time of Mahaprabhu. And it became a great function there. And everybody was invited. It was in Narottam's village, Katuri. His uncle was also wealthy. He was like the king at that time, I think, also. So he paid all the expenses for everything and everyone. So they invited all the devotees, all the famous devotees of that time. There was hundreds, actually. Janabhi Ma was also, with Srinivas, they were presiding over the ceremony. But all the great devotees were there, Nityananda and all of his followers, all the Dwadasha Gopalas were there. And they installed successive deities there, which were taken in different places, Radha Krishna deities, because previously there wasn't so much Radha and Krishna worship going on. before the event of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he revived worship of Radha and Krishna. So anyway, at that time they had an installation of six sets of deities. And in that, Narottam Das Thakur was leading kirtan. He had his own style of kirtan that he invented. And he just loved to dance, he loved to sing, and he loved to chant. He just loved to do that. So he was leading all the kirtans there. And it was so ecstatic that all the associates of the Lord were so ecstatic that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself also appeared there at that festival in Kettur, not seen by everyone, but all the great devotees could see. And he came with the Panchatattva, were all there. So they were all there dancing with all the devotees. Something like in Panihati, when Mahaprabhu appeared there also. He was unseen by the others, but he was taking part in the program. So like this, all the Mahaprabhu and all the devotees were dancing. It was a great function of bliss. And so it's become very famous, a very famous festival. So they established the worship of Radha and Krishna, pure devotional service, as the goal of life, and they converted so many people. In Narottam used to go to as far as Manipur, and he preached there. Even today, they're great devotees. They all the Manipuris accept Narottam Thakur as their guru. They chant all of his songs, and because he stayed there a long time, and the king became, he converted the king to worship Radha and Krishna. I think they're really worshiping Radha and Krishna. But anyway, he was worshiping. He enthused everyone to expand the worship and service to Radha and Krishna. And he performed also many miracles in his life. There was a place named Gopalpur, and there was this Brahmin whose name was Vipradas. And in his great, where he stored the grains in his house, they have a little bamboo thing. They make a little bamboo house and store grains in for the, so it keeps the whole year. Practically every house in the village has some. And they keep it locked, kind of sealed as much as they can, but the, and it's dark inside. So the snakes used to like to go in there because the rats would go in there because they like to eat all the grains and the dhan, rice paddy and things like that. So the snakes would go and live in there because when the rat comes in, then he can eat the rat. And it's very dark. So nobody would go there. They said there's a snake there. So Narottam came to this place, and they said, because they could smell by the snakes give off a very bad smell, so you can smell if snakes are present there. So Narottam indicated that, you know, there's some deities inside there. He said, no, nobody can, you can't go in there, there's a poisonous snake, maybe many, we don't know, but nobody can go in there, you'll be bitten by the poisonous snake. So by the influence of Narottam, then they saw that snake came, and he immediately left. Then there were deities of Gauranga and Vishnupriya were inside. Now they were deities inside there. But when the snake left, then the deities actually walked out of the rice house. The deities walked out and sat on Narottam's lap. So this way, many miracles were performed with him. Everybody could see that. Everybody was witnessing that. And of course, they would get a lot of contradiction, a lot of blasphemy from the smarter brahmanas there. And they were giving all kinds of problems to Narottam, and they were calling him a Shudra, because by birth he was a Shudra or a Kayastha. But anyway, he was considered like Shudra. So there's one prominent Brahmin in there, he said, "You are just simply Shudra, how you can initiate Brahmins, become a guru, worship Shaligram, all these things are for Brahmanas. And you're just simply a Shudra." And because of his criticism, he contracted leprosy. And all of his face and limbs started to be became full of sores and everything. So then later on in the dream, because they were worshippers of Devi, Devi appeared to him and said, "You, that's Narottam, he's a great bhakta of Krishna. You go back and pay your obeisances." So he went back and paid his obeisances to Narottam. Narottam forgave him. And then all the leprosy left his body also. And there were another two the famous disciples of Narottam, Hari Rama and Ramakrishna. They were Brahmin, born in Brahmin family. So they were going to market one day. They had a goat and a buffalo, and they were going to sell it. Because the black goats they will use for worshipping Kali. Anyway, they were taking the goat and the buffalo to the marketplace, and they saw Narottam. And he said, "Where are you going?" They said, "We're going to market, we sell these." So then he started to preach to them. And why you want you're worshipping Devi, but look what it involves. You got to kill an animal, it's all moochy. You're gonna have to get a reaction for all this. Why don't you become Vaishnavas? So he convinced them, they became the devotees. So they let the goat go and they let the buffalo wander off. And they went back with Narottam and stayed in his ashram. They shaved up. And so his father became anxiety. He was, what had happened? And then he found out what had happened. That by the influence of Narottam, they had even taken initiation from him. So he went to tell the king. He was very angry, and he went to complain. And all the smarter brahmanas there, "You know what Narottam has done to my children? They're brahman. We're all brahmanas, and he's a shudra. He's taken them. He's initiated them. They've left home." So we have to do it. Maybe he'll initiate all the Brahmin community. So he was angry. So the king said that his name is Rup Narayan, Big Digibijay. This means a pundit who conquers in every direction. You have a debate and you conquered, you have the right time, conquered. Digvijay, everywhere he went, he was becoming the conqueror of the land, or of these pundits. And so they said, we bring this Digvijay and then we'll have a debate. And then, because he's so expert, he knows, he's a logician, he can twist everything. And then we can get this Narottam out of this place. We will defeat him. So Ramchandra, when they heard about what's going to happen, that the Digvijay is coming to challenge Narottam. And they said, "You know what's going to happen? Narottam's going to say, 'Okay, give me your paper, I'll sign it.'" Just like Rupa Goswami did. He was challenged. Someone went to challenge him. The Balabhacharya. Rupa Goswami said, "Yeah, I know you're a great pundit. Just give me the paper, I'll sign it. No need." Okay. So He'll do the same. Narottam will do the same. They don't want to waste their time arguing with logicians. That's not their business. Their business is bhakti. Oh, we'll sign it and then you can go your own. We'll do it. We'll get on with our bhakti. So he said, like that, he'll try to defame our Guru Maharaj. He said, we can't do that. We can't stand by and let that happen. So they devised a plan that they're coming as a big entourage with this Rup Narayan Pandit. He had a big entourage in Canada. So they said, well, the big party, you know, they need certain things. They want clay pots for cooking. They set up camp somewhere they're going to cook. They need clay pots. They want pan. Everybody choose pan. You must take pan after meal. What I just anytime, but you, it's a necessity. So they dressed up. One dressed up as a pan waller and one dressed up as a mati pot maker. They put gumtra on, you know, gumtra around their head. So they're sitting in the marketplace, and then the men come to get preparations to make cook for the food or for the camp and everything like that, and get the betel nuts and betel leaves. So they call him over. Son, what's wrong? Ashan, irong ashanam. And they say, hey, these guys, apparently they're speaking Sanskrit. Sit down, we speak. They're speaking Sanskrit. They're sutras, they're panwallas. And then they started to discuss, and they said, do you know any philosophy? And they, yeah, we know philosophy. And they started to preach. And then the other guys are presenting arguments, and they defeated all their arguments. And I said, well, what's going to happen here? And they said, no, we're disciples of Narottam. He's taught us all these things. So they said, what's going to happen if two sutras have defeated the party so far? What's it? Well, how did the Digvijay can defeat them? So it'll be a disgrace. So they said, we better duck out of this one. We're going to get disgraced if we get defeated. So we better leave this situation without having a debate. But anyway, the goddess, because mostly they're all worshipping goddess for their... They want cities and potencies and... So they worship God, different goddesses. So anyway, the goddess appeared in their dream and said, you immediately go and surrender to Narottam Das Thakur, otherwise you will be finished. You will be wiped out. So they came and they surrendered to Narottam Das Thakur, and they all became devotees of Radha and Krishna, worshiping Radha and Krishna. So in this way, these are some of the great acharyas coming out in our line. In the TOVP new temple, we're going to have a parampara altar. Panchatattva, Radha Madhavasta Shaki, Parampara, Narottam will be there, one of the deities. He will be one of the deities sitting there, so we'll, in a few years, we'll be able to see him personally sitting with me. Maybe form his Abhishek, I don't know, on that day. But anyway, this is the greatness of the acharyas, how they come and establish the real purpose of life. They illuminate the world by their presence. And it's not, although they come and they go, they're still present. They're still present to assist in pushing on the movement. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement never finished, so all those acharyas that assisted Mahaprabhu in his mission, they're still present and anxious to still fulfill this desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Biti priti chatvaga nagaradigram savacha pachapoidmoy. Every town and village of the world, the holy name will be sung. Adbhut mandir hoy. From this temple, in Krishna consciousness, Harinam, the love of Godhead will be spread all over the world. So the acharyas are still anxious to fulfill the desire. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't fulfill his mission. He started it, but he didn't fulfill it. Krishna started his mission, he fulfilled his mission, went back, everything went back to Golok. Mahaprabhu started his mission, but he didn't finish it. Every town or village of the world has to be. So the acharyas are still here anxious to help and assist. Prabhupada said in the Krishna book, Prayers of the Personified Vedas, he said the activities of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are being conducted by the previous acharyas headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. So he's still helping push on the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's part of ISKCON, or we're a part of him, whatever. So like that, the acharyas are very much anxious. Prabhupada had, in London, he had to make an asan for Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. No, Narad Muni and Lord Brahma, I think. He said, make a little Vyasa sign and put it each side of the altar in Rala Landanishwara. And they said, why would you do that, Prabhupada? He said, don't you see they're coming for Sandhya Arti? So make a little seat for them so we can work. So they're interested, obviously. Obviously. It's their movement. A few instances, there was one in America, and Prabhupada was giving a class, and suddenly one gentleman walked in the temple room with his shoes on. He said, you're all malechas. And then he walked out again. And Prabhupada said, that was Narad Muni, dressed as a gentleman. But they're anxious. It's their movement. Lord Brahma, Narad, Vyas. It's their movement, it's their sampradaya. So this is the glory of their sampradaya, actually, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the whole world. This is the first time in living history, maybe first time ever, that this culture, the Vedic culture, has gone beyond the bounds of Bharatvarsha. So this is the greatest, you know, time for the happiest time of the parampara, this fulfillment of this desire. Goloka Premadana Harinam Shankatanda. Raja Prem is coming in. So they're still there helping. They're still pushing on. It's not that Prabhupada's gone and stopped. No, he's still there. So many examples of Prabhupada appearing to people. So these are the great souls, you know. They come and give us instruction, but it's not as though that's it and they're gone. No, they're still present here. Like the example of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I know I often tell this story, but I like it. But Bhaktisiddhanta, when he was living at the Jogpit, he writes in his biography, he says, from the east, he was living in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was at the Jogpit, and he saw Mahaprabhu come with the Panchatatra, Harinam Shankita. All the devotees were there, the Goswamis were there, all the gurus were there. Gokishaho was there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This was after they already left the planet, but they were all there, came in Harinam Mahashankirtan. And they said to him, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, now you should go out and preach, you should give up all your vratas. Now it's time for you to go out and preach. But you don't worry for anything. When you want manpower, we will send as you need. When you want money, we will send as we have unlimited resources. As you need, we will supply. You don't worry for anything. You simply preach vigorously. You go out and preach boldly the message of Chaitanya. We're all behind you. The whole parampara is behind you. Just preach vigorously and don't. It will happen. Everything will happen. You don't worry for anything. So Bhaktisiddhanta would often use this example, and he would often quote Trivigram or Vamanadeva. Now he's a little boy, he's 5 years old, but with his second step he could stick his toe through the universe. It's very uncommon, a very, very uncommon pastime. But he used to say, that is who we have behind us. If a five-year-old boy can stick his toe through, what cannot he not do? But that's who we have behind us, that's the power we have behind us. He is Krishna, he is our worshipful Lord. He can stick his toes. What can he not do? What cannot not be achieved in this world? So they come, they give their blessings, they stay, they still can receive service. Otherwise, why we would worship them in the TOVP? They're eternal as the as eternal as the Lord is. So we hear, we chant about the glories of the Lord. They also enthuse us in our devotional service. Shri Srila Narottam Das Thakur Tirubhav Mahotsav Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shama Veda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any comment, question? Here above.
When, how old is he? Hmm. We know how old he was, but where he was.
His disappearance. What's the name of that place? Gombila, yeah, that's right. Gombila, it's not far from here, it's in between here and Calcutta. Gombila. So when he left his, he left his body, and then the disciples were going to cremate him. So they made the funeral pyre, and they put his body on the funeral pyre. And then all the smarters, they became very indignant. See, he spent his life, and he was initiating brahmanas. He was a sudra, and you see, this is the result. Where is he now? He's dead and gone. They were insulting him, and the disciples, his disciples were shocked, you know. Look what's going to happen now. They say, now they're going to blaspheme and criticize, and everything he's done they're going to throw out, and they're going to... So they're in complete anxiety. So they were praying, Narottam, please come back. Otherwise, look what's going to happen. These people are going to criticize you. They're going to go to hell. They're going to... Narottam was sitting on the funeral pyre then, okay. He stepped out the funeral pyre, and everybody was witnessing. So they had to be respectful after that. They showed complete respect, and there was absolutely no criticism. They realized his divinity. Sometime he stayed for quite some time. Then after that, he went to take bath in the Gangas with his disciples. He was quite old, and he said, you know, you bathe me with water. So he went into the Ganga, and the disciples come and they started to pour pots of water over his body. Then his body turned to milk, and it just all melted and just in the river there. But they got some of that water, milky water, and that's what's there. And they got the Dugda Shamadhi in Gombila, the place where the Dugda means milk. The Dugda Shamadhi. That's there, you can still see that place. Gombila. I can't remember the exact date of the disappearance. Okay. Thank you.